And welcome to Lunch with Leon, my regular podcast for ITTHub.net, where I have lunch with someone interesting from around the world, and you can join in too. Lunch with Leon is brought to you by Total Care, the experts in lifting and testing equipment for commercial vehicle workshops. Total Care has been supporting the passenger and commercial transport industry for over 40 years, supplying their popular mobile column lifts in the UK. We're delighted to have them on board. Well, this is the first podcast of 2021. I hope you all had a good Christmas and New Year break. I also hope you enjoyed our Christmas special episode starring the whole ITT Hub team. But my first guest of this year is someone special. Many of my listeners are young professionals, keen to become senior people in the transport industry. Some may well be entrepreneurs of the future. So for our New Year lunch, I'm really pleased to welcome Gali Bloch-Liran, who is an executive coach specializing in startups, as well as being a lawyer, marketeer, lecturer, and global speaker. She works with CEOs, with founders, and entrepreneurs to manage the day-to-day challenges and strengthen the mental resilience required to scale such a venture using her own superpowers, energy, positivity, and inner strong belief. We had so much to say. Our lunch went on for ages. So, Gali, why don't you tell me what it is you do?
Great. So what I'm doing is actually working with startup founders and CEO entrepreneurs team and helping them to grow their venture. As you know, the entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial journey is like very complicated, and they have a lot of stressor during it, and they are experiencing a roller coaster of emotions and of decisions they need to make all the time. So I really help them to break it into the small parts and to make the right decisions and to maintain their mental resilience and grow their venture. I just feel that they're more energized, more focused, they gain clarity, and they're much better to continue the day.
It always occurs to me an entrepreneur is a pretty lonely place to be.
Definitely. It's so lonely because, you know, sometimes when they take this hat and choose this path, they don't know exactly how it's going to look like. And usually from the outside and from the media, everything is so glamorous and looks so much fun and everything is amazing. It's so much money and investors, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end, or actually at the beginning, it's a very, very lonely place to be, you know, because if you are the CEO or even the CXO, the other founder or something, it's just you in the beginning. And you have so many things that you need to be dealing with and so many thoughts and ideas and restrictions and constraints. It's a very lonely place to be, especially in the beginning that you're a small team. Also towards, you know, your family, your spouse, your personal life, they don't understand what you're going through. And you need to ventilate, you know, so many things that is going through the day. And yes, it's a very, very lonely place to be. No one can really understand it if he's not in all the details together with you.
Now, that's interesting. So if I just think back to the time when I did a management buyout and an exit, which is a long time ago now, I was really lucky because I think I had a recipe for success, which is I had the most brilliant finance director, and he and I were great friends. We worked really well together. We were different sorts of people, and he was everything to me. He was my friend, my confidant. He challenged me. He was my rear gunner. He was my deputy. So, I mean, do you find that? Do you find if you get a good telepathic relationship with your finance guy, by the way, that's gender neutral, your finance person, does that seem to work in business where you've seen it?
So actually, you're raising here two points. The first one is that completing skills. You know, once you're choosing your co-founder, it's very, very important that you have someone who's not like you, that you maximize your strength and you will find someone that has other strength, so that together it will be a much better whole, you know, that you will work good together. So this is something, one thing. Having said that, it is very important that you will have the same value set, that you will talk the same language, and you will want to go to the same place, to the same vision, because otherwise you're going to two different directions. Building a startup is so complicated, and you will have so many, you know, struggles within. So you will have to see that you have the same sets of values, so it will be easier for you to get the right decisions later on. So this is about, completing the skills of the founders. Let's talk about finance for a second. Sometimes founders, they think that they know it all, you know, they have to be very assertive and very proactive and they get to save the world. So they think they know it all sometimes, not everyone. And it's really, really important to be also humble and to know what are your blind spots. Now, finance of a startup is so important because, you know, to the funding and later on how you allocate the funds that you get and the grants that you need to do and the commercial decisions and the business decisions, how to take the product, et cetera, et cetera. So finance really has a lot into this equation. And not necessarily this is the best part of every entrepreneur. And that's totally fine because he has to be very creative and to understand the market, et cetera, et cetera. Whether it is a CFO, in-house CFO, whether it is an external advisor, there are many constellations, but you have to have someone that will be, that this will be his forte. Sometimes entrepreneurs do this mistake and do the business plan all by themselves and do all the calculations only by themselves because they also want to save some money, you know, in the beginning when they're bootstrapped, and then those mistakes can cost them a lot later on. So I won't tell you that every entrepreneur that I see is like finance is the most meaningful strength of him, but he should definitely have someone that will help him during this.
Well, I'm going to name check my finance director, who is a wonderful guy called Brendan Glyde, and he'd been a auditor trained at one of the big accountancy firms. And he was a very successful auditor because whilst his team were adding up columns of numbers, Brendan was sat in the cafe drinking tea and listening to the gossip of the other people in the canteen. And he would listen to all the things they talked about, you know, because people in a working environment, they're talking to each other about things. So he listened to what they talked about that night. He would go back to his team and say, look, here, 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 and here. He didn't do any mathematics, you know, he just listened and found out information. So, and he was great. His other great attribute was that one of his favorite tricks was to try and make me laugh out loud in formal meetings. So the other thing he used to do was he would give people pet names in a meeting. And then and he would tell me what that pet name was, and then he would drop it into the conversation like by mistake. And this was always designed to make me laugh. And whatever success I had, hugely due to Brendan, who was by my side on our, as we created the business, we bought the business, when we operated it, and when we exited. So I hope he's going to listen to this. But so you must have met, you must
maybe,
have met.
Maybe just to tap into something that you just mentioned, because what I like is to listen to what my entrepreneurs say, and then to take the wisdom out of their things and evolve it. So this is what I'm going to do with you exactly now, because we're not in a coaching session, but where I am a coach. So, you know, so what you're actually saying about Brendan is the insights. You know, numbers is one thing, but all you need to understand is really the story that those numbers are telling you, right? And story is from the numbers and the different reports, but it's also really talking to the users and the market all the time and to understand what is going on there and how it affects your business, your startup. This is one thing. Secondly, you spoke about making he make you laugh out loud. And, you know, laughing beyond all the pheromones and all the biochemistry that happens in our you know, neural system, etc., which is so important. It really it releases you from some things. And really, one of the things that I really I think it's really important while working with the entrepreneurs is to help them stop for a second and reflect on the small wins that they have. Because one of the most important things in order to feel successful, in order to see the success, because sometimes you can just go all the way and you don't see what you did, right? You have to stop and be there for a second and really reflect to yourself the small wins that you have. Only then we have the capacity to really see what we did and to also engage our team and our co-founders to see that all the efforts really led to something. And this is a muscle that entrepreneurs has to, you know, to strengthen, because they don't always stop to see the wins, even the small wins, because what builds success is lots of small wins. This is lots of small wins and persistence, you know, to continue to do it. So laugh out loud is very important from many, many aspects. And also when you spoke about the pets that he gave you, you know, names of pets, so these were his techniques to engage you. And this is actually part of how do we cultivate the right culture within the team. And there are endless techniques, and it really depends on the, you know, on the characteristics of the founders, but making the time to really build the right startup culture from the very beginning. It begins with the founders and later on with the first employees, and as the startup grows, it is so important, because this is the basics of everything. And you know, later on in times like COVID, for example, when the markets are getting crazy and everything is like uncertain and lots of changes, so having the right culture and having the right relationships between the start with founders and between the employees, this is what makes them stay. This is what makes them survive. And it comes, and you can see it in every small interaction between the team members. So these are just like three insights from what you said about Brenda.
Hey, look, I'm enjoying this coaching session so much, Gally. This is tremendous. So another thing I've observed, so I'm really interested to know what you think. But one of the things I observe is that many startups, the working arrangements are very casual, right? And it's just a small group of people, and everybody knows the founder and the co-founder, and they, you know, they drink coffee together, and they maybe on an afternoon they drink beer together, and it's all very laid back. And then every time the company goes through some sort of shock, a change, an expansion, a setback, whenever there's a shock, it always seems to me that you lose a bit of the informality and a bit more old-fashioned, more ordinary business behavior takes place. And so there was a time when the founder knew everybody, but the place gets a bit bigger and he doesn't know everybody. There was a time he sat in the main room with everybody else, but one day he gets his own office. One day people just spent money on anything they liked, and then another day you had to put a paper in to get the money. Do you see that too?
So you began with the word distance. In Israel, there's a lot of meaning to this word distance, because as you know, every 18 years old, the boy and girl has to oblige to serve in the army. It's mandatory. And distance is a very strong word that every Israeli know, because it's like this actually reflects the space or the gap between the commander and the soldier. We call it distance. As it is, distance. The commander has to be very, you know, good and don't smile and don't, you know, play those games with it. Taking this into the business world, yeah, in startups, it's, I think that the boundaries are less restrict, okay? And you get to chat and you get to talk with everyone, and there's no such a distance. And I think that that's also what creates lots of opportunities. And I always say to my entrepreneurs that it's all about communication. And communication, it's not just verbal communication. It's your body language. It's your eyes. It's your smile. It's even your silence when you know how to listen to your people. So I think that COVID really emphasized how communication, especially when we all moved from the offline to the online and virtually and Zoom, how important it is. And I always like to call it, leave your Zoom door open, okay? Because you need to let your employees and team and colleagues feel that you're there for them, even when you have setbacks, and even when, you know, startups had to pivot, and many, many things happened during this time to all the markets. So I think that once you create an atmosphere that you can speak about things and that you feel comfortable to say the truth, so being transparent is one of the most important things that I believe in, even when it's not so good, you know, but to be transparent on the one hand, and to reflect them a lot of confidence that you will move this ship and you will steer it to the right way and things will work. So also then, going back to your question about boundaries, I think that once you give them the confidence that you're there for them and the Zoom door is open or the physical door is open and you are approachable as a manager, as a CEO, and if they have problems or personal problems, they can go towards you and to speak to you about those things, that creates an atmosphere that everything is much more manageable. And even when you have, you know, bad news about, for example, funding that didn't come in, or even you have to, I don't know, decrease or let go some people, or even decrease the salaries or something, which are not good news, obviously. So once you do it with a lot of empathy and with a lot of confidence, and you see the good in it, and you explain, and you come with the rationale, everyone will feel much better when they get those news. And they will appreciate it if it comes in full transparency and from a good place.
That triggered a thought in my mind, because I once had a coach, nowhere near as good as you, a long time ago in the business. He told me something that I didn't know about myself. So let's see if you've come across this.
Try me.
He came to me and he said, here's what's going on in your business. He says, your team love working for you and they really want you to succeed. And you tell them that the next thing we're going to do is we're going to go there, and it's someplace over the horizon. And the good news is they're pleased you've told them where they're going to go, but they don't understand why it is that's where you want to go. So the trouble is, he said, that you're relying entirely on their trust of you because you haven't actually explained why you think that's the right destination. Neither have you explained how you're going to get there. And in fact, to some extent, you saddle them with it. You say, here's the destination. Get us there. Now, is that common?
So I'll answer it from another angle. First of all, I think that the why of every business, doesn't matter which one, especially an entrepreneurial business, is so important because, you know, this is the inner incentive that made the entrepreneur do what he wants to do. This is his why he wants to save the world or help people or do this, bring this disruptive technology into the world and change things. And this is part of every pitch on his storytelling. It's very, very important that it will be present. But it's not enough that it will be present outside. It also has to be very present for the inside, for the employees, because this is what engaging them. And this is also reflects the pain that there was in the industry and why they actually want to bring this or another solution. So I guess that what you're talking about is why and how. And the how, why is very, very important. Now, the how, especially for startups, it changes. You know, no one tells you exactly how you need to do things. You know, it's like trial and error. You just try. Now, in Hebrew, it's very nice because the trial and error, the way that you can pronounce it, it has two meanings. Trial and error, and also try and think about it. This is the other meaning of it. So I think this is the essence of the story, you know? We need to do things. We need to debrief ourselves about what happened, to have insights from this, and then to choose what is the right path to go. And all the time, go back to our, you know, internal balance and understand, is this still aligned with our why, with our North Star, with our compass, where we want to go, okay? And I think that it's a dance, all the time the dance between remembering what is our why and the how can change many, many times. It usually changes.
Wow. Well, one of the other things that my listeners have heard me talk about a lot is about too often we find, and certainly in transportation where I come from, it's very prevalent. Too many of these organizations, whether they're old-fashioned established organizations, long-standing organizations or startups, they're dominated by men. And actually, they're dominated, I have to say, by white-haired men. And I'm guilty of all those charges. So one of the things that I was doing in my professional life, and one of the things I've been doing subsequently, is about how we redress that balance, and in particular getting women and people from diverse backgrounds into non-typical jobs. And, you know, civil engineering, highway engineering, railway signaling engineering, all those sorts of things. So when you're coaching, are you coaching mostly men, or do you have a much more diverse list of people than that?
So you opened a very, very wide angle here, and I'll tap into this. I'll begin with a metaphor that I always have in my mind since I was a very young girl. While you're on a train, for example, or on a car on the highway, you know, and you're going along the way, and you look out of the window. So you have two options. It's either you're focusing on one spot outside, and then, you know, you're moving, and then it gets up to the point that it's out of your line of sight and it disappears. This is one option to look at things. Or that you're focusing on the window itself, and then it's like moving, like a movie, right? It's moving and it never ends. And I always like to be on the second option, you know, that to see and to see all the opportunities that are coming along the way, not something that goes to the past and it's a done deal. So I like to take this metaphor into... and also because you come from the transportation world, et cetera, and to take it to all the opportunities that, you know, the entrepreneurial world can bring to us. And yes, definitely, it's mostly when you're talking to entrepreneurs, they are mostly men, I'll even say white men, and younger, like, let's say, you know, 25 to 40. This is like usually what happens. And less women, for sure. And the majority of the entrepreneurs I coach are men, but I have also women entrepreneurs. Having said that, I think that one of the most beautiful things about entrepreneurship is there are no rules, you know? And you can do everything. There are several rules, but there is much more room for flexibility and diversity. And I think that also the sets of value is a very balanced and good one, at least from what I see. So diversity is something that is very, very important for them. And the majority of my startups, they're very much oriented to bring more women executives into their startups and engineers or marketers, doesn't matter what. I mean, and yes, statistically, there are less women in these positions, but I think that the good news will come from the startups because they are much more flexible in bringing women entrepreneurs and women executives into these positions. And a diversity state of mind is something that is very much familiar with them, and they are pro this this attitude. Plus, they see all the amazing advantages that, you know, women bring with them. They create, I mean, everything, the creativity and the wisdom and the juggling and the wide perspective that they have about many things. And I personally think that also being a mom, and I'm a mother of three children, so I think that also bringing this point of view into life, into business, gives you a much wider perspective. I don't want to bring it into like a man and woman conversation. I want to take it because I think talking about it actually just set in stone to keep the situation as it is. As a woman, and as a woman that work with a lot of men and women, I really think that we should see each one for his strength and abilities and experience, and it doesn't matter at all which sex he is. Yes, we should help more women to close this gap and to go through this barrier of the beginning, because we are amazing.
That's fascinating. And I was also thinking, presumably in your business now, you can get it to a much wider audience because of this terrible pandemic. So is it possible for you to be as effective a coach online as you would be face to face with all of your clients?
So I'll be very frank with you. Up to March, I did everything, you know, one-on-one. I came to my companies. We sat there together. Everything was in person. And I didn't think that, I didn't think about doing it online, you know, because it's like, I also really like it. The atmosphere that is there in the room and the energy, et cetera, et cetera. Where is it going? We began to see how we change all the setting of their work in the startup with their employees to do it digitally, online, et cetera, et cetera. And it was so natural to move to the Zoom. And I really believe that if you're focused on them and if you bring your energy and the setting is right and they really feel the same. And I can tell you that since March, really, a week ago, I met one of my startups face-to-face after 9 months. And it was like we never said goodbye. And it's so effective and it's so wonderful. And it actually opens many more opportunities because even I, as a coach, had to cross this barrier that I can do it, you know, online. You know, sometimes you have those barriers in your mindset that how it will be working, you know, virtually. And it works amazing. And I have startups in Dubai and I have startups in Norway and in London. And it's amazing and it works wonderful. And I think it's true for every relationship. If you are present there, if you look in the white, in the eyes of your, you know, partner, your colleague, it will work just fine. Doesn't matter if it's personal, like it's still personal, you know?
It's funny you should say that, because I have an old friend of mine, entrepreneur, who was on this show months ago. His name is Matt Ginsberg. Listeners can look him up. One of the things he said to me when we were having our conversation was, because we were talking about etiquette on Zoom. So he said to me, for example, he said, do you realize you are talking to me with your arms folded? And I said, yeah, I do that deliberately. And he said, you know, in real life, folding your arms is a technique for holding back and producing some distance. And I said, well, look, let me tell you the reason I fold my arms, Matt, while I'm talking to you, because you can now be certain that I'm not quietly doing my emails and casually looking at the internet, because you can see my hands. Whereas if I just had my hands down like this, for all you know. And he said, well, that's great. He said, but do you know something? Without that explanation, none of us would know.
But you know what I have to say about it? And this is, again, we can talk about it a lot. It's the whole area of body language. And I'll tell you a story and then I'll come back to your story. A couple of days ago, I gave lecture to law students of the IDC here in Israel, the Interdisciplinary Center. and they are running a legal clinic for startups. They are actually providing legal services for startups, and they're just students. And I told them that for me, it's a very beautiful closure, because 15 years ago, I was a law student as well. I studied law and psychology from a bachelor's degree. I'm a lawyer, but I never practiced. And I told them that speaking to them now about how to be better lawyers, because if they will understand the mental aspects of the entrepreneurs, they will be able to provide them a better consultation. And it was such a beautiful talk. It wasn't a lecture. It was a talk I kept with my slide, but they were so engaged and so into it. And you know what they told me at the end, at the feedback, this is the point. No, golly, we had so many Zoom conversations. We never had this one. You're so attentive, and your body language and the energy, everything just moved so clearly through the Zoom that it was amazing. Like we were in your living room, and I connect, and it was very, very meaningful for me. And I connected what you said, because the guy that you spoke about, he said, oh, I have to close my hand so you know I'm not doing emails. But this is taking things on the negative side. What if I would use my hands open and talk to you and convey, you know, my messages and everything? You will still know I'm not doing emails, but you would feel me with you, together with you. So 2 points. First of all, we should learn how to speak from the positive point of view and not the negative point of view, because this is much more encouraging for the other side, and it creates a better and more supporting, you know, environment. But secondly, especially nowadays when we are through the Zoom, it's so important to see our settings. It all has meanings, a meaning, you know, the settings and the body language and the smile and even what we wear and how we look like and the energy, everything comes out. And because this is what we have a screen, right? So you have to ask yourself, how do you bring yourself and the message that you want to bring out in the best way into this focus? And I think that this is a very good way if we will be more aware to the way that we are being seen from the other side, to the vibes that we provide to our body language. It will help us a lot to bring the message in a better way and to really engage the other side to be with us.
So do you think that people can spot when this is genuine? Because as a quick aside, my eldest son spent a summer teaching in Thailand. And as a result of living with a family and being interested in the local customs and the monks and so on, he came back with a really interesting perspective, which was fascinating. He says, you can always tell people with positive energy, and you can tell them apart because, for example, a lot of people have negative energy. It's not just negative energy. They're stealing yours. Actually, you are being all positive, but actually they're stealing it. And he said, you'd be surprised how draining it is to be constantly around people that are sucking on your energy, which is not something I'd ever really thought about before. But it is true, isn't it? And there's a good example about this. Typically, people will say, hello, how are you? But they're not the slightest bit interested in how you are. They just think it's one long phrase. They say, hello, how are you? And before you get a chance to answer, they say, now, something I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about this. So they were never interested in how you were. It's just a phrase. That's the place where people are not being genuine. Whereas the genuine people, for example, in that instance, wait for you to say how you are. And perhaps politely the other way, they ask how you are. And then so does that resonate with you?
Definitely. So this is what I have to say about it. First of all, honesty and what the story you just spoke. So definitely, you can see it in the eyes. You can see it in the eyes. And the more skilled you are, you see it in a second because you feel the energy and the vibe. You can see if someone is sincere and really is there present with you, being with you, listening to you or not. Or if it's just, okay, hi, let's go to business, okay? Well, and sometimes it's also okay if this was the reason of the connection. But personally, I think that you see everything through the screen or even in, you know, intimate meetings and being sincere and really, really see. I think, you know, Oprah Winfrey says that after every interview that she has, all the interviewers that they are talking, they come to her and they ask her one question. You know what the question is?
Go on. What's that?
How was I?
Ah, yeah.
How was I? Now, when I first heard it, you know, it made so much sense to me because it doesn't matter how famous we are or how good we are, the most basic need that we have in life and that we need others to see us. Now, not necessarily to see us. We need others to see us because this is also help us, you know, create some confidence, some inner confidence. It gives us more like external confirmation. Now, I do believe that we need to build it from the inside outside to have our own confidence. But everyone in this level or another, because of the ego, we also need it from the outside. Now, going back to your question, so when someone else is just, you know, he doesn't see you, this is like the worst place to begin a negotiation, a relationship, because he's not here. He doesn't see me. I don't want to do business with him, you know? This is for me. There are people who are less emotional and they are much more strict. And personally, I think that it's very, very important to see the other person. Once you see him, he sees you, and that's a common ground to develop a relationship. Now, another thing that I wanted to say, you spoke about energy, you know, and how others might consume your energy. Now, I think that having around you the people that fuels you with the right energy, with the positive energy, when you're fine, when you're normal, but also when you're down, that they will know to lift you up, is so important to have this couple of guys or people. Even if they are far, you know, it doesn't matter, but you know that they fuel you, but you also need to be fueled by others, because there are many people, many people around us that they just take our energy from the way they speak, from the way they comment, from their requests, from the way they manage, you know, relationships or negotiations, or even by the way they work. And I think it takes a couple of years and a little bit to grow with ourselves to identify who are those that it's good for us, that they will be around us, that they fuel us with energy, and that they don't take our energy. Because this is, if I sum it all to one thing, I think that our energy is the most important thing that we have in life. And we have, you know, to keep it. This is what you're entering the room. This is what you bring with you. This is what, when you're doing business, this is what you bring with you. All the rest will follow, you know. But if people feel good with you, they will want to be with you more. I think that every one of us has to have his own responsibility to choose every time, every day, and you to choose if the surrounding that he has is a good surrounding for him, if the people that he work with fuels him. You know, it's really our daily work to choose what fuels us with the right energy and to let go if it's not.
Well, I remember you and I being animated, and that's because we were in that very noisy bar in Dubai. So the only way to communicate was by using a lot of energy and waving our arms about. So how did you enjoy Dubai?
So it was pretty amazing experience. First of all, in the basic layer that, you know, after like 9 months of constant lockdowns here in Israel, you know, amazing, you know, to go out a little bit to like be normal again, and everyone with the masks, of course, and keeping all the regulations that are needed, but still to live again, to go out the street, to be with people, it was very good at this level. And in another level, first of all, I met there many interesting people, both from Israel investors that were there, but also local investors that I had any conversations with them. And I found such interesting and humble people. And, you know, as an Israeli, I couldn't imagine that I will sit in you know, now with Pakistanians or Emirates or from Saudi Arab, investors, and have as a woman as well. And, you know, have this conversation, a business conversation. It was so interesting. And also to see how they are just like me, you know. I gave a lecture in front of 80 sheikhs and like 10,000 people digital. And it was such an empowering experience for me to speak about my business and women entrepreneurship and myself in this journey with this audience. And it was really a very peak performance moment, you know, of my career. So it was really exciting. I felt such a relief and went out to my room to rest a little bit. And 1 hour later, I went on Zoom again, globally and digitally, everything with my students back here in Israel. And I showed them Dubai. And I also provided them the experience that I had just, you know, hours ago. And I think this is exactly the beauty of life, how you can connect the story and how you can transfer your energy from Dubai to Israel via Zoom. I mean, and this is what I love, you know, and what I'm doing.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It just reminds us, doesn't it, that no matter what the media tells us or what the politicians tell us, we are all basically made in a similar way. We all have particular needs. We all have particular talents. We all have different sorts of attributes. And when we meet ordinary people in the flesh, we find they're just like us, and we can have fun with them. We can do business together. We can learn about each other. I think it's amazing. And due by this time, same for me, of course, we've been locked down here. I've been due back in March to go and speak at a conference in Sydney, Australia, which sadly, of course, got canned. So I had been sat at home with cabin fever, just waiting for the next opportunity. So the chance.
Take me with you, Leon. I love Sydney.
I know. What a great place to do. We'll do that. We'll do that. The next time we'll arrange to meet in a similar sort of place in Sydney again.
And you know, just what you said about that we're all the same. So I think it's also a very good technique. I also say to my entrepreneurs that, you know, when they are very excited before some very important meeting with investors or strategic partners or clients, etc. So really bring it down to it that you know that you are ready, that you prepared yourself in the best way, you prepared your presentations, your messages, you know what you're doing, you are connected to the why that you just spoke about earlier, you know what you're doing, you're on it. Then if you're coming with this joyful feeling and the why, and you know that you're prepared, the other side, it's just a normal person, you know, it doesn't matter if you have billions in his bank account, he's a normal person, he still has the same basic needs, and he speaks the same language. And I also think that sometimes if we take it like down and to a much simpler place, it also helps the other side, the other person, to feel like more normal. And sometimes they also want it, you know, they just have this feeling around them that they're like, I don't know, goddess or something. But sometimes they also need this hand. It will help them to get a little bit more down to earth, you know. And I always tell my entrepreneurs, you know that you're good, that you're prepared, you know your why, you enjoy what you do, then, you know, just go straight forward.
That's so right. That is so right, because everybody has those equal and opposite feelings, you know, so it's the same for all of us. And as we say in English, if you find a job you love doing, you'll never work a day in your life.
A day in your life.
Isn't that just a great saying? So I'm afraid we've had a long lunch, Gally, today, which has been amazing. The time has just flown by. So for any of my listeners who are looking for a superb, energetic, thoughtful, inspiring coach, where do we find you?
They find me at galiblochliran.com. Doesn't matter where they are on the globe. And really, I'd really be happy to hear from your audience, from the people that you are working with, and really to help more men and women entrepreneurs to take their business globally, and to help women entrepreneurs. And really, it's all about people at the end, right?
Sure. So, Gally, we'll post your link on the website so people can find it. I've had a really great time today. My guest has been Gally Bloch-Liran. She is a really energetic, fun, and inspiring coach, especially for entrepreneurs and especially for people in business. So I wish you all the luck. This has been Lunch with Leon, which is an itthub.net production. Thanks very much for joining us today. You can check across on our website. Gally's details will be there. Also for other podcasts and the itthub.net news channel. Thanks very much for joining us today, and we'll be back very soon.
Thanks, Leon.